Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
And Gillespie looks to inbound. There it goes to Queen. Queen will drive in against Morton. Queen with a shot off the glass. Got it! And the Panthers have won it! At the buzzer on a shot! Oh, my goodness! By Derrick Queen, 72-71, and we're heading to San Francisco. It's about time.
You know what? I asked everybody. I said, who wants the ball? And he said, give me the MF ball. And I said, all right, you're getting it. And I said, don't mess around. Go after it and do it. And I give him a lot of credit, man. The big dog came up and threw.
There was a timeout. You said, I'm not going to say the full thing, but you said, get me the ball when he came out of the timeout. Where does that confidence come from?
I mean, so I think I'm from Baltimore, that's why. And then I kind of had it going all game. Me and my teammates had it going. And like I said, like they trusted me to take that last shot.
Here at the highlight, Johnny Holiday on the call right here on 105.7 The Fan over Modulation Monday. The excitement was palpable there on Johnny's call. Derrick Queen hits the runner to win it at the buzzer. Maryland was due to win a buzzer beater. They finally got one, and what a time to get it as they beat Colorado State 72-71. They're heading to the Sweet 16. They will take on Florida on Thursday night. And man, oh man, that was fun. They're like, man, that was fun.
What was agony? And then it was fun.
Hey, survive in advance. That was the definition of survive in advance.
I mean, an amazing moment. I mean, you try to think of things in recent Baltimore sports history that are similar to that. I can go back to when the Orioles made the playoffs for the first time under this regime and some of those games against the D-Rays at Camden Yards that went extra innings and Adley had a massive at-bat. And like some of those comebacks, I can remember going nuts with my kids. I mean, the Ravens, there haven't been really moments quite like that I could recall recently in games that big where it was a single play that kind of That was the you know, that told the entire story at the end.
Not with that magnitude, but both Bengals games were really exciting this year. Not with that magnitude.
I mean, they're regular season games, and they're going to go to the playoffs no matter what.
That's what I'm saying. Not that magnitude.
The last time, so other than my fiance, the loves of my life for the Ravens, the Orioles, and the Terps, the last time I got that excited about a game was when Joe Flacco hit Jacoby Jones in Denver.
A long time ago.
Yeah, so that's been a minute. Like, there hasn't been that kind of finish in a big, the game of that magnitude, to use the term we've been using, like, since then. Like, the Orioles.
Especially not one where we came out on the winning side.
Yeah, the Orioles haven't had a walk-off win in a playoff game. They haven't won a playoff game in a long time. The Ravens, same.
Like, some of those games where they clinched the division for the first time in 9 million years and Adam Jones is making the victory lap, but those weren't, like, They weren't winning in a walk-off fashion like that.
Well, I mean, Mullins had that one, was it when Verdugo fell down? That was fun.
Yeah, that was a big moment.
Yeah, so, and I think that clinched something. They won that game. But no, nothing like this. This was, full disclosure, I'm flying back home. I watched the first half on the plane, which is never fun. Watching on my phone as getting a ride home, get home with 4 minutes left to go in the game. I'm standing for the last minute of the game watching. And I just, when he hits the three to put him up one, I'm like, here we go again. And then when that shot goes in, it was like a release.
I mean, I just kept waiting for the inevitable. Like, I'm just screaming what my kids were jumping up and down. I'm like, are we sure it was okay? Are we sure it was okay? Like, I'm just waiting for some kind of ridiculous replay or them saying it was a tenth of a second late or some baloney like an offensive foul or whatever. Like, I couldn't believe that we were going to win a game in that fashion.
And the other thing was, it drove me crazy. They come out of the timeout and Maryland has a foul to give. And I'm thinking, okay, they're going to throw the ball to somebody, and they're going to wait, and then they're going to foul so that they have to inbound it again. Jacoby Gillespie, after the game on Westwood One, said they were supposed to foul.
Yeah, we were supposed to take a foul, actually. It's funny you say that, but I guess our player didn't do it. But we were supposed to take a foul.
Can you imagine? Now, granted, because they didn't, they had time to if he hits a shot after fouling and inbounds, they might not have time to win the game.
Right.
But they had...
I would also point out Jacoby Gillespie was totally in no man's land on that three-pointer, and he was in no man's land quite a bit yesterday.
Well, and Derek Queen was late to get out on that, too.
Well, I'll say this, and the ending was fantastic, and really the last 4 or 5 minutes or so, but it was a very frustrating game.
It was a tough watch.
Oh,
it was agony.
My gosh, man. Getting out-rebounded. The guards were completely out of sorts in the first half. It was a mess early, but the ending...
It had the makings of one of the more soul-crushing losses in recent Baltimore sports history. Like, if they would have lost that game and lost it when the kid Clifford should have been thrown out for a flagrant elbow to the neck in the first half. If they would have lost it with some of those officiating situations, if they would have lost it in another game where they had the size advantage and got killed on the offensive boards, if they would have lost it in another close and late situation where, look, the point guard just had another, I thought, fairly poor game.
Like, I thought he played well in the second half. He was bad in the first half. Like,
he was bad defensively all the way around.
The thing that bothered me is they didn't, as a team, especially the guards, weren't ready for Colorado State's defensive intensity, and that's unacceptable in a game like this.
Dude, they had Rodney Rice on the ball most of the game. I think that says a lot about what was going on with the point guard. But it would have been a lot of the chickens coming home to roost. Well, had Derek Queen not hit one of the more important, impactful shots in franchise history.
Well, it was also the fact, how many times on the broadcast they say, why are they not getting inside?
Lob the ball, but I'm going to the point guard. That's why I'm talking about the point guard.
Julian Reese didn't have a shot.
Didn't touch the ball.
8 minutes in, he didn't have a shot.
They got up four and had the ball twice, and I thought Reese would get a touch. Now, Rice had a good look. That's a shot he usually drains, but he misses. But
Reese missed two layups.
Yeah. He got one of them, he got too far under the basket.
Yeah, but...
They win. And one of the great things about this tournament is every game is different. And all the stuff that you want to nitpick about, for me, watching this tournament, like, they won. You survived. They always say survive in advance. They survived. Now they advance. They got a different challenge on Thursday, but they won.
Of course, that's all that matters. I mean, it's playoff basketball. It's one and done. It's defining your season. And you either extend your season or you have a 6-hour flight home figuring out how it got away from you. There are definitely lessons to be learned from this. There definitely are things that still very much need to be corrected. And something we'll talk about a little later at length during the week. I do have a theory that this is going to be the first time in a long time where they're not favored.
Mm-mm.
Like, even against Michigan, at Michigan down the stretch, they were the favorite. Like, they've won, 14 of their last 17 games. They've been the favorite in almost all those games. They became the hunted. And I think the level of expectations got to them early in a lot of these games, especially against lesser teams. We said it against Penn State. We said it against Ohio State. We said it against Northwestern.
Another sloppy
Chickens
start
came
again.
Home to roost and I know they won the first game going away.
First half was
a debacle. So I do believe that now that they've reached where expectations got them, and they're a 6-point underdog now, it might be 7 or 8 come game time, that they're going to be a little more free and easy. I think the point guard will play much more relaxed and understand his role on the assignment more, because when they've been the hunted and when it's felt like the pressure's been on them, it hasn't brought out the best in them. And the tight and late situations all season long speak to that. I think some of that now, whoof, they can exhale. And I'm not going to say they're playing with house money, but Florida's the one who's got to win that game, or their season was not what it was supposed to be.
By the way, can Rodney Rice have a good first half in some game sometime soon? Like, he can't have, like, second half is fine. First half, terrible. And he seems to be terrible in every first half of every game, except for the Illinois game, where he couldn't miss.
The three guards were 4-for-18 in the first half. That's not going to get it done.
Maryland wins 72-71. Again, they play Thursday. It's a 7:30 tip, so pregame coverage will be at 6:30 right here on 105.7 The Fan. We have a monster Monday show guest-wise on the program today. We'll talk to our buddy Jacob Calvin Meyer. Covers the O's for the Baltimore Sun. He is in Washington, D.C., as the Orioles are in a rain delay getting ready to play the Nationals in their last spring training or exhibition game. Chris Nockey was on the call right here on 105.7 The Fan, the Terps Radio Network. We'll get his thoughts on Maryland. We'll review the two games, preview Thursday with Chris at 5, and we'll talk everything with our buddy Cordell Woodland at 5:30.
Yeah, I mean, obviously a ton going on with the Orioles and the Terps right now. The Orioles, Gunner, they're obviously not going to – he didn't even play over the weekend. So,
by the way, quickly, everything we said, they did. Like, Gunner's on the IL. We said you got to put him on the IL.
Yes.
Povich is in the rotation. They put Povich in, like, everything that we've been calling for, they did.
Yeah, sign another pitcher. Should have done that all offseason long.
Yes,
Kyle Gibson. I don't really know if that's progress. It feels like back to the future. I will say this. I've been saying I would back off Felix Bautista. They're going to go with Felix Bautista. Look out for that in Toronto, because he got torn up against Detroit. And I don't think the guy's ready, but we'll see. They are going with Bautista. There's still a couple roster decisions yet to come. They also insist on playing Jackson Holliday at shortstop and batting Colton Cowser leadoff, which...
We'll see how that works out.
Yeah. We'll see how long they stick with either of those when the games start counting. But a lot going on there. We'll talk a little Ravens, too.
Yeah.
Return guy was a big need for this team. They talked a lot about a return guy. Is that something they should address now or try to put it in the hands of a kid? It seems to me when they put it in the hands of kids in the past... hasn't worked out so well.
Actually, Devin Duvernay worked out real well.
It's been a minute.
Yeah, but that was the last time they had a good returner.
And that was a third-round pick.
Yeah, yeah.
That was a pretty high investment.
Yeah. Well, they thought he was going to be a real receiver.
They drafted a return guy.
Coming up next, we look back on...
Yaman Figures. Yeah. Wasn't he a third-round pick?
Yeah, he was fun. He was fun. He weighed less than Bone. We go back to
the weekend. He weighed less than Bone and Wiggins combined.
Good and bad. Maryland, we recap both the Colorado State and the Grand Canyon games next here on The Fan.
And our Derek, I know you were saying you were kind of due. This is your first game winner ever? Or
yeah.
I wouldn't have given it to him if I had known that.
That was post-game. Derek Queen, the reporter, asked the question, is that your first game winner ever? And he said yes. And then that was Kevin Willard who jumped in and said, I wouldn't have given him the ball if I knew that. Derek Queen famously said, I want the MF basketball. They gave it to him. They're already selling NIL collective shirts with that on that. And also, I'm from Baltimore, that's why, which is an iconic statement, especially from people who have rooted for Baltimore sports teams who are from Baltimore. That hits
chip
home.
On our shoulder. Yes, I mean, that's quintessential, sums it up. Our sort of worldview. Bone and I talked a lot about it on Friday, even though we didn't have that much time to talk, period. This kid has a chance, I think, to be one of the more influential figures in this program's history. And I know people will say, well, that seems like hyperbole. We were saying that before he hit this shot. Because of the time and the place and the way the world has changed. And like, this kid probably is going to be a top five pick now. I mean, this is a true freshman who's become one of the faces of this tournament. And if he plays well against Florida, and I have no reason to think he won't, yes, he's got things he needs to work on at the next level. But it's been a minute since you've seen a Terp player on the national stage like this as a true freshman get picked as high as he's going to go. He is from here. He wants to keep the pipeline of kids going to Maryland maintained from Baltimore to College Park. Oh, and if he does meet his potential and becomes a supermax guy in the NBA, how much you think he could tip into as a booster to NIL and revenue share and all of that? If he could become one of the more unique ambassadors for this program, And now to have him hit one of the biggest shots in program history, like, I cannot wait to see what he does at the next level. And I think timing, as they say, is everything. And the confluence of all these events, the Willard situation, the need for boosters to step up even more, the promise of what he could become as a face of the Terps, playing every night in the NBA and maybe being an NBA star. That we've sent a lot of kids to the NBA who've carved out better careers than we thought. We haven't seen a super max guy come out of College Park in a long, long time.
Here's the comp, and he was only here 1 year, but he wasn't a freshman because it was a JUCO transfer. It's Stevie Francis, was the second pick in the draft and was a star in the NBA until all of a sudden he lost it. But that is a guy who only spent 1 year in College Park who made an imprint. Yeah. It's Stevie Francis. That's the comp.
But think how much the world has changed now with these kids being paid.
Yes.
And what it could mean to
absolutely
have somebody like Derek Queen sitting on a $500 million contract, playing on TNT or whatever. I don't, TNT doesn't have the games anymore. And having Shaq and Chuck rave about him and him say, yeah, go to Maryland, kids. You can do this too.
And he recognizes that.
He
talked about that after the game. And he's forever etched in program history. Every single March, we're going to see that buzzer beater shot. And the degree of difficulty on that shot, because it was well defended, first off. And even if there wasn't a defender
going
there.
Going to would your be left problem. Like that?
That's what I'm saying. But we mentioned this Friday, too, where just because you're a five-star recruit does not mean that you're going to deliver. This is not a diamond stone situation. He came and he made his immediate impact in that first game with the 20-20, albeit against Manhattan.
Still.
Had some rough times, but then got better and better as the year went on, and you saw that talent immediately.
And this was no normal big man play. This wasn't a lob for a five-foot jump shot or a play above the rim. He got the ball at the top of the key.
Yeah.
And created the entire sequence himself on the dribble.
By the way, people saying that was a travel, stop it.
All right, let's not even give it the oxygen. Okay. You know what? It was a flagrant two elbow to Geronimo's neck.
Yeah.
That's what that was.
Well, that
and
was
you
first
take,
half. And
you take Clifford out of that
court.
Game, Maryland covers. I got more money in my pocket. So,
yeah.
So I don't know. That's the last we need to, but whatever. That's poppycock. Like, that kid made an unbelievable basketball sequence. It wasn't even a basketball play. It was a basketball sequence.
More from Derek Queen. Talks about his trust in his head coach.
He do pay us the money. And then so we got to listen to him. And we all trust him because he's like a player coach. and then he want nothing but the best for us. And he just, he coaches hard. He talked to us other than basketball. He's just always there and just want us to win.
So he started by saying, yeah, that's the guy who gives us our checks, because it is, as you pointed out, Jason, and people should know by now, it's a whole new world in basketball. In college basketball, these guys get paid, and he's getting a paycheck. He's the guy that, well, I guess the athletic department writes the checks, but Kevin Willard's responsible for it. So he's the guy that pays him, and that's why he listens to him. It was a funny answer, but you could tell, especially that post-game presser, well, not presser, but when they talked to Kevin Willard on CBS and you saw the guys behind him,
yes,
you can tell this team loves Kevin
Willard.
They're
sending a signal to Plank and everybody else who puts money into this program
to step up
and keep this guy here and keep this going. We want this to be part of a legacy, ongoing legacy, and a reboot of sort of the expectations of Maryland basketball. We don't want this to be a one-off. And look, this was a big moment for Kevin Willard, who he's got his personal sort of subplots here of, well, is he going to be a guy who gets to the second weekend of the tournament? And for him to be willing yet again to put it in the hands of the players, to let it be their team and let them voice up who wants the ball and how do you guys want to do this? Very unturge-like.
Yes.
I just think that vibe between him and the team and his willingness all season long in critical moments, and most of these critical moments did not go their way, but for him to continue to give them a fair amount of autonomy in determining how these games, sequences, and basically the outcome of their season went down, and saying, what do you guys want to do, rather than sort of preach down to them or talk down to them, it tells me he really understands, I think, the mind of the youth athlete or the semi-pro. I mean, they're not even, they're really pros. But I think he gets the way that these kids think. And I think he understands that the old school way is not going to work.
For sure. And I'm glad you pointed that out, Ken, with the interview with Andy Katz. that illustrated that he's a player's coach. All of them. This is our coach. This is our coach. And he was under a ton of pressure. The whole team was under a ton of pressure to kind of fight through the mess that was last week. And yeah, got off to a rocky start in that Grand Canyon game. Then they ended up just whooping up on them after the first 10 minutes or so. But to come through in the clutch, it was about time for a buzzer beater to go their way.
By the way, I just want to point out, we were talking about Derek Queen eventually, if he's making big money and giving back. Beltway Ben reminded me in my ear, James Harden does that. I'm sure there are other guys. James Harden gives a ton of money NIL to Arizona State. Like,
dude,
I'm sure that's
game
happening.
Changer.
Yes, yes. So you got guys in the pros making some money. They might throw a little bit in.
No, it's going to be a few years.
Yeah, yes, yes. But there'll be money in that kitty for the next up-and-coming Terps. Coming up next, we switch to baseball. And the Orioles, their game, their last preseason game, spring training game, whatever you want to call it, was going to be played in D.C., has been rained out. They open on Thursday. What is that rotation going to look like? We're going to discuss. Is old good? That's.
Want to grow your business fast? With TikTok ads, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Next here on the Fan.
Yeah, absolutely. He's somebody that I've watched pitch a lot, and it's fun watching him pitch. There's just not many guys that have his stuff, and then also pitch to both sides and set hitters up. And I kind of geek out over watching guys do that. So I'm definitely excited. I heard a lot of really good things about him.
That's old friend Kyle Gibson speaking to the media yesterday. He was there down in Florida after he signed with the Orioles. Well, 1-year deal. It'd make about $5.5 million. More information came out today. They think he should be ready to join the team around May 1st. They said he was already about 50 to 70% ramped up. But so they get rained out today. Their last spring training game was yesterday against the Braves. Charlie Morton had his first poor outing. He went 2 innings, gave up 3 earned. Dean Kramer struck out 10 in 5 1/3. Yeah. They finish in a 5-5 tie. But it begs the question, they didn't replace Corbin Burns. They brought in another old guy now with Kyle Gibson. So what does this rotation look like?
It's old. It's the oldest rotation in Major League Baseball.
Except for Slim.
But it's the oldest rotation
yep.
in Major League Baseball. I mean, again, I don't think that's how they drew it up. The owner told me that they've got all these plans written out for years into the future, why they'll be so great forever. I don't know if having the oldest rotation in baseball and going back to a guy who was a mid-rotation starter for you 3 years ago or whatever, 2 years ago when the expectations were lower, I don't know if that's really progress. I also don't know why it's always kicking, screaming last minute. Right? I mean, the guy's not going to be ready. Like, if they say May 1st, does that really mean May 1st?
Sometimes.
And also, when he is ready, is that when they just introduce the six-man rotation?
Or somebody could be hurt by then, because they're
old. Yes, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's not exactly foresight and proactivity, right? It's scrambling, and it's covering up for the worst-case scenario, because you never mitigate against the worst-case scenario. You think you've got it all figured out. It can't hurt to have Kyle Gibson around. Like, again, it's
seems
odd
to be
that it's happening
teammate.
Right before the season starts. Like, it happens literally as they break camp. He's a guy, too, who could end up figuring in your bullpen or whatever. I'll do whatever's asked of him. But this is not like... This is not what it was supposed to be.
No.
I mean, there's no timetable for Grayson. There's no timetable for Bradish.
Threw from 90 feet today on the field.
And Sagano looked exactly like I thought he could look when he's not pinpoint perfect against a real major league lineup. And the hardest hit ball of them all might have been off Jason Dominguez's bat, and that was just a line drive base hit. He wasn't fooling nobody. The thigh cut stuff was getting destroyed. And that's where he's going to be. Like, he has to be top 5% of all major league pitchers in command if this is going to even be league average. And if you were watching O'Masson in that game and you watched the Judge at bats and you watched even how hard some of the Bellinger balls were hit that went foul, and you watched Jazz Chisholm just taking him to another zip code, like, okay. That's what it could also look like. And that's problematic because he's kind of got to be a thing from the giddy up.
He absolutely does. And to make matters worse, it's not just the starting rotation. It's the bullpen that has concerns as well.
But they did mitigate some of that bullpen by putting Suarez in the bullpen, which is something we've been begging them to do for a while. Instead of putting, like, definitely, we got to put Suarez in the rotation and send Povich down. They did do the right thing there.
Yes, and
they did.
And I think we're all excited to see Slim in his first full season up here, coming off a really, really strong spring, and it was really well earned. Felix is going to start the season, and obviously he's been shaky. The velocity is down. They still have to decide if they're going to Brian Baker or Matt Bowman, which that wasn't on their bingo card prior to spring training either.
Yeah, I guess Bowman they have selected, but there is some speculation that could be a guy
to get something.
Exactly. Or they pick up a waiver claim and he's the guy that goes.
That could certainly be.
Yeah.
I would be shocked. If they didn't try to upgrade their bullpen by finding treasure in somebody else's excess. How concerned are you two about this rotation? Because
I'm very concerned about pitching in general.
Who on this team, starting rotation wise, would you really trust for more than two spins through a lineup?
Right now?
Yeah.
I trust Eflin.
Okay.
Yeah, I trust Eflin.
I trust Eflin.
I mean, Eflin's like a six-inning guy.
That's two spins. You asked two spins.
I said more than two spins.
Oh, okay, I heard two spins. I apologize. They're going to have to get through the bullpen. I trust Charlie Morton for 5 to 6 innings. Yeah. I will say this, and I don't say this with a lot of confidence, but 2 years ago, they won 101 games, and who was the guy in that rotation that you said, well, Bradish came on, but going into the season, who was it?
Gibson was the opening day starter.
Yeah.
2 years ago, they had a freak of nature at the back end of their bullpen who gave them the eighth and ninth.
They did. But they also had Kyle Bradish, who ended up being a Cy Young Award finalist. So.
This lineup's going to have to mash, especially early on.
Okay.
Yeah. I feel like they'll hit.
Yeah.
And by the way, and I don't want to get too off track of the conversation, all the guys, Adley, Jackson,
Great Springs.
Yeah, Kowser, all those guys that you have any offensive concerns about had really good springs.
See, I'm not sure that Suarez is going to figure into this the way you guys do. Because I think Suarez is right-handed Keegan Aiken. And I think because none of us think these guys are going to go more than, some of them, I don't know, are going to go five. Like, how quick are you going to have to beat a hook Sagano if stuff's leaking over the plate? Like, especially early on as he's adjusting all this. Like, how long is that leash going to be?
Well, early on, the leash is quick anyway with Major League Baseball now. So yeah.
And him going to a five-man rotation, yes, for the first time in his life at age 36 and a half, sure, or whatever he is. So I don't think Suarez is helping out the back end right away.
I agree.
We'll get there because Dominguez sucks. But it's not going to start out that way.
That's what it's going to be. I mean, especially in the month of April. But if the back end proves to be leaky, then yeah, they're going to make that move.
Orioles and Nationals were rained out today. I didn't think they'd wait that long. Oh, by the way, I do want to send kudos to Masson for keeping the tarp on the screen during rain delays. I feel that's ideal for the viewing experience. So I was concerned they were going to get rid of that. Because like since 1975, you could run a Chiron down the bottom of the screen, and you could show the game full screen, the old game, and let people know it's a rain delay. But having the replay at like two-thirds screen the tarp on the top, it's great. It's good stuff.
Well, and it'd be one thing if Rick Dempsey was still on the team and he was running around on the tarp in his underwear.
Yeah.
Then I'd rather watch that instead of the Keegan Aiken starting
game
against the Braves and COVID.
Yes.
But in lieu of that, why show raindrops that you can barely see in the top corner of the screen hitting a tarp?
And make the other thing smaller. Love it.
You know, if you actually wanted to like utilize your talent, you'd go to the studio.
Yes.
And you'd start having like interesting conversations about the team that you want people to buy tickets.
Yes.
That has real games coming up. Like you could have conversations like
Jason,
about the team that might actually inform people about the team.
One step at a time.
Instead of showing games from 6 years ago.
Yeah, one step.
Older than 6 years.
Oh, we do. Thanks to the rain.
Chris Tillman up there.
Thanks to the rain out there.
Well, I thought they were showing a different one before this.
Is this Mother's Day? Because they're all wearing
I think this is a second game.
Wearing the second.
Or was this the same game as before? I couldn't tell because it was split screen.
Same game.
I could tell it was split screen.
Same game. Yeah. And it looks like Mother's Day.
Come on, Tilly.
Yeah.
You got this.
I think they win. Coming up next, we alluded to it a second ago. Gunnar Henderson, not going to be on the opening day roster. So what's shortstop going to look like on opening day and until Gunnar comes back? And do we like it? We'll tell you next here on The Fan.
Definitely not good when we're breaking here without Gunnar, but I think the position player core and this offense can pick up the slack. He's going to stay back in Florida. He's took simulated at-bats yesterday, hit very well. He's going to take more today. He's going to take more tomorrow. He's going to take more the next day. But he will start the season on the IL, which will be a minimum of 7 days missed. We're going to try to get him out there as soon as possible. It's a matter of getting him prepared for the season.
So, in this case, that was Mike Elias, by the way, announcing Gunnar Henderson going on the IL. But in this case, they have done something that we wanted them to do, which is don't rush Gunnar Henderson back. You can put him on the IL. There's off days during the first part of the season. Now he says he can be back in 7 days. He's taking at bats every day. So Gunnar Henderson is starting on the IL, which I think is a good thing. We think is a good thing.
I mean, again, I don't think there was any decision to be made here because they talked about getting him in two or three games.
Yeah,
as far as I can tell, he got into none.
He got into zero.
So it would have been absolute.
Yes.
Like jackassery to have thrust him into the major league roster.
But it wouldn't have completely shocked us if they did that.
With no Grapefruit League, it would have shocked. This would have been a very different show.
Yes.
Despite the Derek Queen shot, if they had done that, I'd be calling for people's jobs in a way I haven't before. That would have been gross negligence, the likes of which they haven't sniffed. They've sniffed a lot. That would be a whole nother level, even for them. Like the dude has literally swung a bat like five times in a fake game.
So there's another part of this. Jorge Mateo has played in spring training games, but he's staying down in Florida. But it seems like they're trying to get him ready for the start of the season. If that's the case, I assume he plays shortstop. But if not, then who's the shortstop opening day, and how does this thing look?
Well, they're telling you it's Jackson Holliday. Yeah. I mean, it was Jackson Holliday. They started cranking that up against our better wishes about a week ago, maybe 10 days ago. If you've looked at any, if you looked at today's lineup, which I think was pretty close approximation of what they're going to run out there on Thursday on the carpet in Toronto, Cal's are leading off. We'll get to that later in the week.
Had a good spring.
That's great. He strikes out 40% of the time, and he can't hit a changeup. Yeah.
Like, well, that was last year.
That's an interesting. Why don't you just put Cedric Mullins there? Was the 30-30 guy.
I would love that. Well, that was years ago, but I would love Cedric Mullins.
Who would you rather lead off?
I'd have Cedric Mullins, yes.
Yeah, but they're pushing Kowser because he's their guy, and they've been pushing Mullins out. This is not supposed to be politics. This is supposed to be a meritocracy, but whatever. I digress, Bob Annie.
Yeah. Shout out.
So rather than just do what we all want, which is just leave this kid Jackson Holliday alone at second base, put Soto or whoever at short. It doesn't matter whether Mateo's back or not. Give Gunnar all the time he needs. And I'm going to go out on another little limb here. Well, I shouldn't say this because they do this all the time. A guy plays three games at Norfolk and he hasn't played in forever and then he's here. Don't do that with him. Don't do that with him. Let it be 2 weeks. Let him get his legs under him because we know when he gets up here, he will be going 9,000 miles an hour. So we'll see how much he actually plays and what that looks like, because I'll be watching on the MILB app when he gets to Norfolk and how long he's there. But I don't get, in the interim, why you don't do what's in the best interest of Jackson Holliday, which is leave him the hell alone, and you should have just kept him at second base despite this hiccup anyway. Why you don't do what's best for Jordan Westberg, who had his own truncated spring because of injury, and leave him at third, where he is clearly the most comfortable and where he does his best work, and just put one of the many 4A fringe
utility
shortstops
guys
you have who can catch the ball and throw the ball at a major league level from shortstop. Why that is hard for them, I ask you two. Is this in the best interest of Jackson Holliday? Is this in the best interest of Jordan Westberg? Is this in the best interest of the Orioles' current, right now, best infield defense? Or is it in the best interest of a GM who's trying to prop himself up by saying this kid is a shortstop? We drafted him as a shortstop. And who's interest? Like, tell me who this makes sense for and why.
I know.
I'll sit back and listen.
I know it's a domino effect with moving Jackson to second and Westberg. I'm most concerned about Jackson, and I went through all of the lineup cards for the past couple of weeks. He hasn't started. Now, we know spring training's funky, and it happened yesterday where Jackson started at shortstop and then worked in at second, him and Mateo flipped. But he has not started at second base in a spring training game since March 9th. March 9th? You're talking a couple of weeks now where even Brandon Hyde, when he was asked about it, when Gunnar initially went down, and he even admitted, yeah, there's a little bit of a concern level for me putting more on Jackson Holliday's plate when this is still a newish position for him at second base, when he was doing all of the work possible this offseason to get more acclimated, and then to throw him back to the other side. That bugs me the most out of all, both.
Do you
of
think
them.
It's in his best interest?
No.
I want to take.
So
the
whose
third,
best interest is
I
it?
I want to take the third question, and it should be about what's in the best interest of the team. And what's in the best interest of the team is letting Jordan Westbrook play third base, letting Jackson Holliday play second base, and temporarily having somebody who can field and catch the ball at shortstop. What you're doing now, if you choose to do this, is you're putting Jordan Westbrook at his weaker position second because you want Ramon at third, which. And you're putting Jackson Holliday at short, which is his weaker position. So your
he couldn't play short in AAA.
So you're bastardizing the entire infield is what you're doing instead of just.
So why
putting,
would you do that?
I have no idea.
Well, take a guess. Give me a theory. Who's behind it? Do you think Hyder's behind it? Because you pointed it out, and I was going to if you didn't. Hyder's already on record saying we shouldn't keep moving these kids around, and Westy should probably be at third. And I think we know this kid's a second baseman, not a shortstop. So it's not him.
It's not
Freddy Gonzalez. They kicked him out.
It's them telling you, despite the fact we don't think he's a shortstop, they think he's a shortstop. Yeah.
But do they really? Because they didn't play him at shortstop last year, and he could barely play second base.
They didn't play him at shortstop because the other guy's better.
The other guy, they could have given the other guy a day off. If they thought this kid could play shortstop, Gunnar DHs and Jackson plays shortstop.
They could have, but he didn't want
Because we think it's
off.
Really in his toolkit.
We thought he could have had a day off.
So do you think that maybe they're doing this because they want to just prove themselves right? That they drafted him as a shortstop and they sold him as a shortstop, so we got a chance to cram him down your throat as a shortstop?
For a
and we're
week?
Gonna do it?
But like, as soon as Gunnar comes back, he's done playing shortstop.
But you said a week. I don't know that it's going to be a week.
Hypothetically,
I think it might be three games because I don't think you're going to need a, on that carpet. I don't think you need a whole lot of time to move from this. But in the interim, you've messed with the kid's head again.
I agree. Yeah. That part I don't like.
So
and
who?
I don't like, and I'll ask again. Westbrook either.
Who's it serving?
It ain't serving me. That's for damn sure.
Yeah.
I don't like
it. Seems like a bunch of geniuses serving themselves.
Coming up next, we get back to the Terps, and we will get back to this a little bit later. But coming up next, so the Terps are in the Sweet 16. Kevin Willard's definitely getting extended, right? He's not going anywhere, right?
Mm.
We'll discuss next here on The Fan.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.